Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you'll need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and that's Todd Atkinson. You know, you usually don't get me off track, but I stumbled over my words a little bit there.
You did. Although I did record with Ed very recently, like a day or two ago. So maybe I was still, you know, how Moses, when he came off the mountain, he was like still radiating glory. And
yeah,
I'm not wearing a veil. So maybe it's the, I don't know, some kind of being in Ed's presence manifested itself in that way that it was powerful enough to throw you off your game.
Maybe.
Probably.
All right. So we've been talking about some interesting things in the last few episodes, 558, 556. Last episode, we talked about the well curve. Last couple episodes have really just been, okay, as we think about 2021, and obviously we don't have a crystal ball, but you know, what are some things that church leaders should be aware of, planters and pastors and such. So those are, if you haven't listened to 556 and 558, be sure to go back and listen to that. But today we're going to be talking about organizational life cycles. So it may be one episode, we may be done just with this one, or we may actually keep on going after this. Who knows what will happen? I guess time will tell. But really, we want to talk about the whole philosophy and framework around life cycles. Now, not talking about the life cycle of a butterfly, metamorphosis. Right? And I'm sure we can all kind of imagine that piece of it. No, there's actually, in every organization, there are life cycles. And there's a lot of different people who have wrote on this, both in the secular and in the church world. My education on organizational life cycles is heavily defined by Adizes, so managing organizational life cycles. So I don't know about you or where you want to start, but we can talk about organizational life cycles. And basically, if you're thinking about, before we get into that, where we want to land is essentially how we can help you identify where your church plant or church or campus or multiplying church is at, and how you can get back to the growth stage or to the prime stage. So yeah, where did you learn about organizational life cycles?
On the street. No.
I know you're familiar with Adizes too, right?
So the organizational life cycle, I also think of, well, you're talking about leadership cycles too. And yeah, you're talking team cycles and culture cycles and all that. A lot of cycling going on. Because, I mean, whether you want to use sigmoid curves or you want to talk about forming, storming, norming, or, you know, whatever little tool that you've heard of or used, all of those are valid. But in my opinion, they all come back to rising and falling on leadership and people. Because it doesn't matter how strong your process is, it ultimately rests in the hands of people, and it rests and runs with people.
That's good. That's good. It's I love that. Yeah. And there's so much written on the whole notion of life cycles and people. And even when I think about the organizational life cycle from Adizes, and I'll quickly walk through it just to give you a sense. It's not the only one, but I think this guy is one of the original ones, or one of the huge thinkers on this whole idea of organizational life cycles. But even when you look through it all, it's interesting how he actually identifies four types of leaders, right? The different kind of at every stage, what sort of leader is needed, what sort of leader is actually reigning dominant, and how that person can actually help the organization grow or actually grow stagnant, right? Grow and be more efficient, and grow to be more stagnant, actually. So think about it like this. A lot of organizations actually start in this area called courtship. So think about a church plant, right? Brand new organization, heavily led by the entrepreneur, right? That's one of four sorts of individuals. And what's interesting is you still need the other types of leaders within that courtship phase. But what I like about Adiz's work is that it can easily be this courtship organization can actually fizzle out and move away because it's like, oh, you know, this was a nice idea, but it's not going to work out. Right. It's just that entrepreneur was just like, I can't really make this into anything. So you go from courtship and then you can actually make it into the infancy phase where a church plant is actually born. A church is actually born, an organization is actually born. All hands are on deck. You keep on going. And, you know, if actually the producer takes dominance too much so to the effect of kind of ruling out all other leaders, Adiz has actually calls it infant mortality can actually happen. Because of resource issues, you don't have enough people or capital or whatnot. And we see that with church plants as well. And then just quickly going through, an organization can grow from infancy to kind of like this go sort of phase. You're having success, producing things, reaching new people, you're gaining momentum as a church plant. And then you can move from there into the adolescence phase. And that's actually often when the church planter will either actually cause the church plant to fizzle out because they're not taking as much, or you know, they're adding more staff and they're actually being pushed out because their gifts aren't as needed as much. And then there's a lot of stuff can actually happen right there. And then you can move into the prime. So according to Adiz's prime, prime is the place where you want to be. It's where there's a greatest intersection of efficiency and flexibility and self-control and all of that, where the organization is really thriving. And then it can go to this stable or it can kind of peak at the top. So if you're thinking about a curve, it peaks at the top at stability, and then it can move to aristocracy and then early bureaucracy. And that's where you're resource rich, but there's no energy, no vision. It's stale vision. You're just kind of riding the wave. You have a lot of capital and all that. So you're kind of riding the wave, and then you get to bureaucracy and then organizational death. So that's a quick summary of when you think about a curve, a typical curve of a church and of an organization.
I love his shoes. That's all I want to say. Just very comfortable. I used to be more of a New Balance guy, but his shoes are incredible.
Adidas? Are you saying Adidas?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're awesome. Oh, that's funny.
No. Okay, one of the things that I think is also interesting would be, now this is different, and this is actually a really good tool for this moment in time. But also looking at this from a horizons standpoint. So, you know, the three horizons are all about really innovation and when different people, you know, early adopters, blah, 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 comes into play. But you could look at it like the horizons of an organization.
Hmm.
Another thing to look at, from a resource perspective, honestly, would be to look at like, go back if you have a copy of the first 90 days to look at that, because it talks about the different situational types of position you're in as a leader. Hey, I'm in a turnaround situation. Am I trying to sustain growth? Am I trying to, am I starting something new? Like, and really, as a good leader, I mean, you're obviously going to be better at some things than others, but to at least begin to be able to take a step back and look and recognize where you are and what tools you need to employ, you know, at this particular phase and stage, I think is important as well. So, I haven't looked at Adiz's work and will now, but...
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's fascinating, right? I mean, there's even when you just look at right now. So right now, look at the state of your church. Look at the state of where you're at right now. And if you haven't listened to the episode from 558, please do so, because we talk about the well curve and we talk about challenges of mid-sized churches and you know, a lot of things about church plants and larger churches. So be sure to go back and do that. But when you think about where your church is at right now, you want to mature as a church plant. Right? You want to mature as a church plant where you as a church planter aren't doing everything yourself, right? And you're not pulling 15 hours a day, because if you're doing that, if you're pulling 60, 70, 80 hour weeks, you're not going to have a spouse and you're not going to have children, right? You're not actually going to meet the qualifications of an elder, as we see in the scripture. So when you think about that, yeah, you might have a church, but you may not have a life that you actually even want. So but there are phases, right? There are moments, there are seasons where it is go, 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 right? You gotta all be in, and there's so much of that that you need to hustle, right? You need to hustle, and there is a lot of that, but you can't live there, right? In the same way, you might be a more established church that is ascending church that is multiplying, but you've, because of COVID, become just so inward focused because you're trying to survive and you're living off of the legacy of yesteryear. Well, in both situations, you want to get back to that place where your church, where you have stretch goals, right? Where there's like this church-wide focus on reaching the lost, where people love whether they are volunteer or whether they are paid, or they just love being at your church and being a part of your church because there's this growing, healthy, exciting environment. And yeah, there are policies, right? There are structures, there are systems, but they're not opposing energy, right? They're not opposing all of that. So regardless of where you're at, you want to get there. But I guess the million-dollar question is how? And, you know, for the remainder of our time together, part of it is when you look at this theory, it's your leader, it's having a leadership team. Right, I love what the Gallup folk from StrengthsFinder talk about. They, Don Clifton. Who am I talking about? Don Clifton, right?
Aren't you certified?
Yes, I am certified. No, that's what I was like. Okay, but he's like,
they better not hear this.
He's like, we shouldn't strive to be well-rounded leaders. We need to have well-rounded teams. Right. So when you think about an organization or a church that is thriving, it's built off of teams. So when you think about that, what sort of characteristics and values and team members do you think a church is required to have personality wise and all that in order to thrive as a church during this season of time?
Daniel, okay, you know, and people that are listening to this have certainly heard me, but you've definitely heard me over the years say, I hire people over positions.
Mm.
So I honestly think we probably should go ahead to another episode because the team element is so absolutely essential.
Okay, so let's do that. On episode 562, we will continue on talking about organizational life cycles by addressing the team aspect of all of this. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time.